Welcome to UGA Sports Live. My name is Rodney Nabulsi. I'm joined by Jake Roos, Dane Young, and of course, Hall of Fame coach Jim Donnan. Jake and I are actually here at Academia Brewing Company. We have some beer that's literally
the freshest you can get, man.
Canned less than 2 minutes ago. They're canning their Hopperdijak right now. If you're a hop head, you know, the Hopperdijak can't beat it. Of course, we have a flight in front of us. We have some food coming. So while our friends at Classic City Eats are off for the week, we figure we'd come over to one of our other favorite places to eat every time we get a chance. And we're at Academia Brewing Company, where they actually have fantastic food and great beer. So you should really try it out. It's a great place to bring a ton of folks. We've got a lot to talk about this week. I know everyone wants to talk about, you know, will there be a football season? We're not going to get into that because I think it's too early and I don't want to talk about it. I'm sick of talking about COVID and crap like that. I really am.
Do you find that people are asking you that question a lot?
Every radio show I've done plenty this week, this last week and the first 2 days of this week.
I'm glad that just radio is doing it to you. No. I get it from everyone I know.
No, I'm just saying that, but see, when you do radio, you're
on the spot.
You're on the spot. Yeah. If someone brings it up to me just in public, polite conversation, I can say, go to hell. I don't want to talk about this. You know, so we'll talk about Elite 11. We have some recruiting updates and stuff. And I want to, before we thank all of our sponsors, we'll do that later on the show. I want to go straight to Coach Don and ask him about the Elite 11, you know, because he is a former quarterback. He is a quarterback's coach. He's an offensive coordinator. I know he's big on football backwards and forwards, but you got to know that in his heart of hearts, he watches the QBs.
Of course.
You know, so Coach Donnan, if you would, what are these guys going to get out of the Elite 11? Georgia has a commit there in Brock Vandegrift, five-star guy. Georgia fans are going to want to hope to hang on to him. So what is Brock Vandegrift learning out at the Elite 11?
You know, first of all, I didn't even know it was going on until I read that little note you had yesterday. As usual, you come up with a real plug there for your site when you put that Jamie Newman was out there helping as a counselor. So I thought it was going to start later in the week. So heads up for everybody to Roddy. You know, once in a while he gets something right. But right off the bat, when I saw that, I texted Trent Dilfer, who I'm name dropping here, but, you know, I've always been pretty tight with Trent over the years. And I asked him, I said, how's Jamie doing out there? And he said, great. Said he loves the kid. Said he's got a great attitude. And he's, you know, he's blended in. I think they got four counselors there. The kid from North Dakota State's in there, that 1AA school. And also Justin Fields and one other. I'm not sure who the other one is. But he said that, you know, they're glad to have it again, you know, because they were worried about being able to – because just like you said going into the show that whether they were going to be able to. And last year Jake did such a phenomenal job of giving us all kind of info from down there in Dallas. And I'm sure he's missing those tacos down there and all the stuff that he was there last year. But anyhow, two questions I had for him. One was who were the other counselors, and he told me. And then also, how did Jake? Excuse me. How did Jamie look? And then how's Brock look? And he said Brock's a fantastic athlete. That was the first thing he said. Said his athleticism's out the, you know, just unbelievable, which we know. And you know, it's the first day, and they're trying to, you know, get the biggest problem they have. They don't have any receivers that are the caliber that they usually have. Yeah. So they've got guys in there that are local guys or guys that, you know, aren't used to catching those fastballs. So the timing's probably off and they don't look quite as good. But overall, I didn't really get to talk to him much, but I felt like I'd need to get a little scouting report for our fans here. Just that, number one, he really likes Jamie. And number two, he really likes Brock. And what I'm telling you is, if he doesn't like him, he tells me. Because he's told me about some guys in the past that Jake and I shared last year that he was pretty much right on. So I feel pretty good about that, don't you?
Oh, man.
What's unfortunate is, like everything else, the Elite 11 this year is so different than it normally is.
we're not having a chance to get down there, get close to them. I mean, any video you're seeing this year is from the stands, and you know, they're making sure that they're keeping social distance from the kids, but make sure to stay tuned over at UGASports.com because we do have one of our national guys up there in Murfreesboro shooting some videos. So we should have some stuff coming on Brock here soon. I think that, you know, you mentioned his performance. Woody Womack is our national guy who's up there. He mentioned, you know, Brock as one of the top performers out there, you know, said that it was clear and easy to see his athleticism. You know, it sounds like right now, I know this isn't going to thrill Georgia fans, but Caleb Williams, kind of the guy who's standing out to a lot of people. No surprise either. Number one quarterback in the nation. You'd kind of expect that to be happening. But, you know, I think that it's still a good – it's a good experience for him. It's probably a great experience for Brock to get some work with Jamie. And also he's getting some work with Justin Fields too. So it's probably some interesting.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Man. I agree. That's what I'm saying. You know, I'd want my kid working out with Justin Fields.
Absolutely. I want my quarterback learning from him because there's a reason we had Justin number two in the nation, you know, behind Trevor.
Yep.
You know, it's like, look, these are 1A, 1 and 1A. You know, if you can have your five-star quarterback go learn from them, then I'm all for it. You know, it's,
you know, I didn't answer the question about what was going on because I don't want to talk too long, but I would say to our fans here, this is really kind of the ultimate in quarterback training, what they do, not only on the field but off the field. They've got these guys talking to them about psychology of quarterback play, about reading defenses, about they got a guy in there who's a chess master who works with them about how to work with their mind as far as thinking ahead, you know, thinking about the next move, all these different kind of avenues that you normally wouldn't have as a high school player, even though we do have a lot of these high school gurus that work with them and all, but not to the extent that Trent has all these different kind of cameras on them, watching their footwork, testing their velocity. So when you get through three or four days with that, you have had a really an unbelievable idea about where you're going to project, not only because of what you see, what you can do, but you see the other guys, because usually you're the best guy within 20, you know, 2 hours of where you're playing, so you don't have anything to compare it to. But they got 20 of the best quarterbacks in the country in there, so you see how you throw the ball on the run compared to one guy, drop back compared to another guy, throw the screen pass compared to another guy. You have these different stations where you move around and work at launch points. So it's just an unbelievable atmosphere for training the quarterbacks. And I don't know anybody that's got a better feel for kids than Trent does, because he really takes a lot of pride in it. And I think, Jake, you can point that out. That's his baby, the Elite 11. You know, he actually has moved up to Nashville and is coaching a high school team now. So be interesting to see how they do. They had a pretty good start last year. I think they were 7-5. But understand that they've had a few move-ins here lately.
I bet they have.
That's going to help his team out a little bit.
I bet they have.
Yeah, you know, actually, I'm glad you said that, because I was really trying to make heads or tails of why this thing was happening in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. I forgot that Dilfer had moved up there.
We've been to Murfreesboro.
We have. Yeah. Well, they did the opening there last year. There is the connection. And like I said, we will have some film coming from that. I look forward to seeing how Brock stacks up against the rest of them. I think that it's, you know, it's a shame we're not getting to do the five-star challenge and the full opening and all that. But you know, the Elite 11 is, I mean, it's ingrained in high school football at this point. So, it'll be exciting to see how it kind of pans out.
And I think Coach makes a great point in that you have a situation where you get 20 experts together.
Yeah.
You know, 20 of the best. And you can ask the other guys, hey, when I'm seeing this defense, what should I do? What do? How do you handle this? You know, and just, I mean, if any of you have ever gotten together with other experts in your field, people who do what you do, you go to a banker's convention, you go to a real estate convention, you go to a teaching conference, you know, and someone says, this is something I have a problem with, and 75 other hands go up, go, yeah, same here.
Yeah.
And then you're like, well, here's the workaround I learned. like when I try to learn to be a writer, I can't, you know, but I get around other writers and they're like, oh, this is what you do. Or you know, we're in the room before a big game and I will steal techniques from other photographers out there. I'm like, what are you doing over there? You know, and it's just that kind of continuous learning. So glad that Brock Vandegrift's up there. Things I learn a lot. If he's learning from Jamie Newman, because, you know, they won't get to play together next year.
Sure.
Hey, that's fantastic. And I'm sure they probably run into each other in Athens prior to this, but it's a good situation to have.
No,
I'll say this about Brock too. With anyone that has questions about Vandegrift, go back and watch his November tape against Prince Avenue Christian, or no, against Eagles Landing when he was with Prince Avenue last year. That game in November, it was a 62-57 loss for Prince Avenue Christian, but Brock threw for 6 touchdowns, and Eagles Landing is one of the best teams in the state when it comes to that division. So, I mean, I saw Chad Simmons put it out there first, I think it was in November, and just talking about how great that game was for Brock. Yeah, this kid's legit.
Well, I bring up the story all the time. When he played my boys, somebody broke his chin.
Punished them. Yeah.
Somebody hit him underneath the face mask, split his lip, and split his chin. He put a little tiny Band-Aid on it, went back out there, lit up our secondary as if we owed him money.
Yeah.
So that, yeah.
Well, I'll tell you.
He's great when he's on your side.
Sure. And I'll tell you, too, what's exciting for me, and this is one that I encourage everybody to have on your high school football calendar. Opening week, Brock Vandegrift and Prince Avenue take the trip up to Rabun County versus Gunner Tiger. Stockton. And that's going to be, that's two of the best. You can't draw up a better, you can't draw up a better quarterback matchup than that. So looking forward to that.
So we need football to be starting. But speaking of Jamie Newman, Coach, we had the National Writers of Rivals.com came up with this fact or fiction hypothesis. And they do this series all the time where they say fact or fiction, and they come up with a statement, and Adam Gorney or Mike Farrell or whoever comes in and says, hey, I believe it's fact, I believe it's fiction. The second one today was about Mason Smith, so we need to talk about that one.
Yeah.
But the first one was Jamie Newman. Is the Jamie Newman transfer to Georgia the biggest transfer in all of college football this year? Coach, let me get your take on that. Because there's a lot of guys that move spots. I think a trade.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's just something Mike Farrell likes to go on and be the prophet of knowing everything. I worked with him up at ESPN, but I mean, he's really not going out on a limb saying that Jamie is. I mean, obviously he's going to one of the best programs, and I can't say that whether he will be the one or Derek King going over to Miami. Who knows about that? That's just like when we started to show out who's going to be, are we going to play football? But I know this. I'm glad we got Jamie. I was fired up when we got him. I got a lot of background with him, being from the same hometown and the same county. I've got a lot of people that know him, know his character, know his family. And he's fit in so well with our players. In a difficult situation. I mean, not being able to practice in the spring, not being able to live with these guys, being around them. And he's just shown a lot of leadership. He's a quality guy. I mean, he's going to be successful no matter what he does. If he doesn't play and be an All-American in Georgia, which I hope he's going to be, I guarantee he's an All-American kid. He's the kind of guy that every coach, wherever you would coach, would want to be your quarterback.
And I don't want to stay on Jamie Jefferson, but I want to – I mean –
Jamie Newman.
Jamie Newman. I want to point out the story we had about with Jonathan Jefferson.
Oh.
We had the Coach's Corner. Go to UGA Sports right now. Love it, Pete. Read the Coach's Corner about Jonathan Jefferson, the defensive tackle out of – Oh, hello.
All right. Hello. More beer coming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Okay.
Okay. You'll see how quick Roddy dropped his point for beer.
I'm sorry. We just had a bunch more beer sent to us. So
keep your pants on.
Where's Jordan Jefferson? I'm forgetting.
Jonathan Jefferson. Jonathan Jefferson. Yes. Sorry. We've gotten into these flights early today.
Yeah.
Jonathan Jefferson out in Douglas County.
Douglas County.
Douglasville, Georgia. And this is not a guy. Now, I will say, I caution people, about jumping to conclusions about guys that you just don't hear a lot about, because he's just a quiet guy. He doesn't do a lot of interviews. I think he's somewhat forgotten about, you know, because he's just that quiet. I mean, that's his personality. You're talking about a top 250 kid in the nation. and a kid that head coach Johnny White yesterday just, I mean, laid the praise on something thick, dude, about six layers of
it. So he's coached DeAndre Walker, Plaxico Burress, who else?
Eric Berry.
Eric Berry.
He was defensive coordinator for Eric Berry. Yeah.
So, and he says this kid might be the best he's ever coached.
Yeah, he said He said I can't think of a bigger freak of an athlete than Jonathan Jefferson.
Athlete, I should say. So yeah. He said this kid could line up a wide receiver if he needs to.
And we've got the aspect of former dad, formerly boxing for the
heavyweight championship. Let's go for the heavyweight title. So he gets it on us. So point being, and then he and a buddy of his see a kid being bullied. And they go and stop the, you know, they go sit with this kid, you know, at school. Point being, you got to go to ujsports.com, read the coach's corner on Jonathan Jefferson, because when coach says, look, you win or lose with Jamie Newman, that is a great kid to have on your squad. You look at his character, you look at the things that define him besides being a football player, and that's a kid you'll be proud of. You know, when Jamie Newman does his year at Georgia, you'll be proud of him. A kid like Jonathan Jefferson coming in, that sounds like another guy that you'll be proud of.
Well, and, you know, you mentioned that, but I don't want people to forget that story. What was it, a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, about Latavius Brenny and Jalen Kimber? I mean, I know Brenny had some hangups early in his career, but, you know,
spoke about that extensively.
Yeah, the story,
locker room golf, yeah.
The story of those two guys helping that little girl out in the subway downtown, you know, buying a cookie so she could use the bathroom. I mean, it really speaks, I think, to – what these guys want. And we're getting a lot of questions about, you know, Georgia and the recruiting trail and why are they holding off on some of these kids. I really think a huge part of it is they don't feel comfortable with the evaluation they've got, not only on a physical standpoint and an athletic standpoint, but from a personal standpoint, having the ability to spend time around these kids, spend time around their inner circles and their families, and get a chance to know, you know, what kind of people are we bringing in? Because you've got to mitigate that kind of, yeah. I mean, you've got to mitigate bad behavior, and not only that, but if you can create, you know, a great atmosphere in the immediate as well, why not?
Yeah, Coach, explain that to us. So, we saw a kid recently, and I'm not going to name him, but there was a Georgia commit in the last 2 years, committed a bit early. The coaches took the commitment, you know, and Kirby tweeted out a "Go Dogs," and then it wasn't too much longer than we started getting some feedback from the kid's hometown that there was maybe a little me first attitude.
Sure.
A month later, they decommitted. Found out the coach basically told him, yeah, we like you, but we don't like your personality. Do you take a kid who is a – how do you balance –
how do you weigh baggage?
Yeah, I mean, it's if the kid has baggage, certain maybe a running back that Georgia wanted that, you know, they take his letter of intent, then all of a sudden change your mind. Coach, how do you weigh –
here's the deal.
Talent level, because if they're really talented, you kind of
to
want
me. To me, here's the deal for Kirby and the perplexity of the situation, and with the social media and the way you guys cover, it's amazing to me how much you guys know about these recruits, and also, obviously, everybody reads our site, knows about it, and reads other sites. So there's a lot to be worried about who we aren't getting and why we aren't getting them and who's getting them and all. But based on the fact, would you give somebody $200,000, just give them $200,000 if you've never been around them?
Well, that's a good point. I mean, if you let the value of education, right?
That's basically what a scholarship over 4 or 5 years is worth. And the one thing that I've said on this program numerous times is how great our evaluation process is in the summertime, in particular, when the kids come to camp, not only to evaluate their ability to run, jump, measure everything, all that, but also go out with our players. Even though they're in camp, our players take them out and talk to them, and our players tell our coaches, hey, this guy will fit in. Or they'll say, no, he won't. And you don't have that benefit right now. And we're right at the pinnacle of making a big move, trying to make that jump to win it all. So I think he's doing the right thing, being very selective. And you look at all the guys we've got at this point, except for the kid up in Pennsylvania who came down here for a visit. We're very selective and know a lot about these guys. So as much as I worry about a lot of things, I'm telling you, I worry a little bit more than I used to, but I don't worry about Kirby's recruiting, who he's going to get and who he's going to take. And, you know, I just caution everybody that some of these kids are going to decommit that have signed with something committed to some of these places. Now, I don't know if Tony Grimes is going to go to North Carolina or not, and he's going to decommit or other, but I'm saying a lot of these guys that have never visited a school and committed to them, I could see them jumping off ship. So we don't like to get guys committed unless they're all the way, you know? So,
well, and
I feel good about right now where we are, because Mims, Ferguson, Mondon, I mean, I would like – if I was another school, I'd be worried about those guys. But if I'm Georgia, I don't worry about them too much. Maybe Mondon for a little bit, I don't know. And then at JUCO defensive back, I know we're in there on him too. And I know as little about recruiting now as I've known since I've been at Georgia, because I got no access, man. I'm just right here by myself, and it's all I can do to cut a computer on, and I don't really know. But I know this. I saw Mims last year when he was over there. He was over there with Ringo, with Washington, all those other kids having fun. I got to meet his family. I told you he looked bigger than Shaquille O'Neal to me. If that kid wasn't happy here in Georgia, I've never seen one. And I feel really good about Mims. And that's just a gut feeling based on where he looked me in the eye and told me how much he liked Georgia.
Yeah. I think too, Coach, also to your point, you mentioned these guys, these kids getting out there, maybe some decommitting. I think that we're going to see some of these college coaches, you know, get some of these guys in and say, oh, you're not 6'4" like you listed on that film.
That's a great point.
Oh, you're not, you know, or you work out for us and we're not seeing it, you know, in person. I think that you're going to see them. Right. Yeah. Suddenly you show up and you're, you know, 60 pounds heavier and you're not quite as agile. I think you're going to see a mutual parting of ways in a lot of these opportunities. I think you'll see kids decommit. I think you'll also see a lot of cold shoulders from coaches.
Yeah, well,
but you're not going to be able to get the workouts, Roddy. The guys aren't going to be able to come in and work out because right now August, the dead period's through August 31st, so they're not going to have any camps during football season. So the evaluation part is just going to be based on tape. Not near as much of what you just said. I mean,
if the coaches are allowed to go on the road and they get out there and you're standing next to the kid, you're like, we thought you were, you know, 6'4", 260. You're 6'2", 280.
Are you implying that a kid would lie on their on their height and weight?
or a school would, and a high school program might be a little.
Or their 40 time. Come on.
Just saying, you know. Yeah. But then again, you also – when you dig into a kid and you find out that, he's got there's a social media issue or there's a behavior issue or there's a grades issue that's been covered up, things change. And I think you're going to see a lot of that shifting. But point being, bring it back around. You got to be happy where Georgia is with Jamie Newman here on campus. Got to be happy with a kid like Jonathan Jefferson. Be very happy with Jalen Kimber and Latavius Brenning doing stuff like that. It's just in a time of just brutal news coming day in and day out, you know, when all this COVID stuff.
Good Georgia's stories made like some, that. Yeah, Georgia's made some great headlines.
Yeah, so that's some good headlines, so we appreciate that.
Speaking of great.
Yeah, I know. It just freshly
It gets no better than freshly canned beer.
Why do we go anywhere else?
I don't know. We're out here at Academia Brewing today, having a chance to sit down, drink some Hopperdesiac. This is the double IPA with Citra and Mosaic. We may skip a second round of this if we're trying to get home, but
send the driver.
This is Dave's here, so we got
Dave. Get me home.
But we also This is one of those great juice bomb IPAs. If you're into that real juicy, you know, it's not all that bitterness. It's got a lot of fruit forward in it, and an outstanding beer.
I know a lot of people love the Tropicalia. I like this better.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. That's not a shot against our friends over at Creature Comfort.
Creature, yep.
Nothing against them. They're great. We're fantastic.
But did you take the Galaxius?
Yeah, you don't get that one. So screw you. we have a flight, and they gave us the Send Your Ninjas right off the bat there.
Yes, and I looked that one up.
The beer is called Send Your Ninjas.
A Berliner Weiss made with a Japanese citrus fruit called Sudashi.
See, they're a little more advanced than me. You know, what do you think?
Mm. A little sour. I love it.
Of course you
do. Yeah.
And then they have their double IQ IPA.
You okay. Know,
when we're over at our friends at the Classic Feast, we drink the IQ IPA all the time. This is the double version of it.
Twice as smart.
Then the Galaxius Porter, which is one of my favorite beers ever created. And this is the one I don't share because I'm the boss and I get to grab it. And then the Skull, which is one we have all the time.
One of our old favorites.
Yeah, it's one of the first ones we ever had. Mm-hmm. And the Skull, we've killed many, many a can of
this
that.
This is your pool beer.
Yeah.
This is your drinker all summer.
Yeah, you drink about 8 of those on a Saturday, you're fine. So.
Fine is probably not right, but you're going to have a good time.
Yeah, and we got some food coming. We're going to need that food too, Sue. I'd also want to give a big shout out to our friends at Classic Fit Eats. They are not, they're closed down for the week on vacation. They'll be back up and running soon. So we'll be back over there, but we want to check in over here.
I did want to touch on something Coach said, which is that you were talking about players getting the opportunity to spend time with recruits. We had a story yesterday where that looks like what's going to be happening, as Brock Bowers, Georgia's number one targeted tight end, 4-star Rivals 250 kid, is going to be making his way to Athens next weekend. He's coming in on the 9th. On his own dime.
What?
Yeah, on his own dime.
From California.
From Napa, California. Yes. Now.
So he's got a lot of dimes.
Personally, I would have picked a different moment than July in Georgia, but that's okay. Listen, if you want to make a decision before the season starts, you need to see your options. He mentioned that as a possibility of somewhere that they were considering as a family. He confirmed to Mike Singer over at our Notre Dame site that that is happening now. And now you mentioned, Coach, the opportunity to spend time with players. He cannot interact with the staff. Now, I did get a question, which I do think is very interesting, from our buddy Terry Forshee. He said, I'm curious if a player visits UGA on his own during that time, can Kirby and the coaches be on a Zoom call with him? I think you could do it that way. I don't see what would stop you from that at all. No. I just think face-to-face contact is what's going to be shut down. But you have to assume players are going to be in town. They're going to be taking guys around. And I think that Bowers will get a pretty good idea for what's going on in the Georgia program.
You know, I think if he could meet up with, like, Darnell Washington and say, look, why did you come all the way from Nevada out here? You know,
or how about Kendall Milton just down the road?
Yeah. Well, I'm saying, a guy in his same position.
Oh, you know? Sure. Like, you think sure.
Hey, you've been on these meetings. You're working out with the Jamie Newman and the other quarterbacks. What are you seeing? What do you feel? So it's just like when these.
Yeah, I think a real plus here too for this guy coming too would be JT Daniels. Just the fact that here's a guy that had a West Coast background that had the chance to stay at USC or go to other schools on the West Coast, and he's made that move too. But now you got Milton and Daniels here. And that was the other thing that I forgot to add about the talking to Trent Dilfer. He said, which was all in a text message, but a five-word text message. Can you please guess it? On JT Daniels.
What did you think about JT Daniels? Trent Dilfer.
JT Daniels. Freaking stud, man.
He can really spin it.
You got that. Yeah, you got that exactly right. He can really spin it.
I know Trent Dilfer. I've known the guy for 20 years.
Well done.
No, when Trent Dilfer loves a kid, what does he say? You see him on ESPN all the time.
Dimes.
So-and-so can really spin it. He throws dimes. Yep. Yeah. So
for him to say that pretty much. And then when we first got him, I talked to him actually, and he said that the kid did a tremendous job at Elite 11. You know, I mean, he actually would have been the number one quarterback in the country the next year, but he stayed in high, you know, if he'd have stayed in high school. But
yeah, you know, he finished behind.
Yeah, he finished behind our, those two guys that we talked about, you know, Trevor and
Justin and, Field. Yeah.
But not like he was four.
Right.
He's number four in the nation a year early.
Uh-huh. The fourth best player in the nation, yes. The third quarterback.
Third quarterback. Yeah. How is he, you're number four. You're like, yeah, you're the third best QB. You're like, damn it.
Yeah.
Oh, and you're and the other guys are both a year older than you.
So yeah, the other thing I would say about that would really worry me about recruiting is the restrictions that we're going to have in football are going to be unparalleled, you know, to have the games. I just got to feel like we're going to have a hard time letting guys go on the road.
Yeah.
During the season. Do you think they can do that?
Well, if to me, if you're going to have parents in the stands, or we just saw our friend Jeremy Johnson over at
Yo, County Register.
County Register. He put out a Enterprise.
Enterprise. I'm sorry.
One of my first people gave me a job. the Enterprise, he put out the list of what the Georgia High School Association was saying about how the referees are going to handle the games and what they're responsible for and coaches. I mean, some of the limitations on it. And if they have it, though, I can't see why you couldn't have a coach on the sideline in a mask watching a kid, you know, in person, as long as you're keeping the distance and stuff, especially – the GHSA wants these kids to have the opportunity to go to college. And if the college coach is like, look, I need to see him first before I give him the $200,000 worth of scholarship.
My only concern with that is, and I do, I, that makes total sense to me, is putting a coach in an airport and on a plane and then putting them around all those people.
You get your own planes.
Well, yeah, sure.
But you don't want the coach to be going out to a community that's in a hotspot and coming back. So, coach, you're right. I have no idea.
I know. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what I'm saying.
It's out there, but I'm just thinking if there's any way to do it, you really want to get those kids to see it. Before we continue, the food's here, and I want to introduce everyone to Matt Casey. How we doing? Cheers.
The, yeah, you're going to have to speak up. The younger, there. More handsome version of Roddy Nabulsa.
I can get a new recruiting writer. I can get a new one, but I can have anyone that has a beard. So, folks, I just want y'all to recognize this is a UGA graduate who came up with all these fantastic beers. You got three for this weekend.
Yeah, we got three special ones coming out this weekend for the 4th of July.
But I can't, you gotta speak up loud now.
Yeah, we got three special ones coming out this weekend for the 4th of July. We've been releasing about one to two beers a week almost, yeah. And right now I've got my brother flying in for the 4th, and I got to try to find our Key Lime Pie Berliner Weiss that we sold out of weeks ago. And I think some bottle shop may have a four-pack laying around. I'm looking around for one today. It's crazy.
I'll just tell you, again, I'm a Key Lime Pie guy. That was fantastic beer. So we talked about some of the beers. We had the flight in front of us. We're knocking back the Hopperdijak, which is one of my favorites.
Can today, so this is the freshest can of Hopper DJ.
They gave it to us 2 minutes off the line.
Yeah, yeah. It's fun to hang out here on Can Day.
I felt like Laverne and Shirley.
Yeah.
Cue the music, right?
I feel a lot more like those kids at the Wonka Factory. You know?
I need a quick rundown of what you have going on the food side, because everyone thinks, okay, it's Academia Brewing Company. They only think of beer. I try to make this point each week that it's, hey, they got beer, but they have real food. It's a real restaurant.
Yeah, I'm the biggest glutton for punishment you ever met, UGA grad. So I decided to bite off way more than I could chew. And I decided to go with a full service restaurant, bar grill, with a kicked up comfort food to pair with the beers that we're making here. And we got a facility that was big enough to take a run at the distribution model. And that's really helping us out a lot during this COVID period here. Basically, all the bars had to shut down, all the keg business dried up. And luckily, we got this canning line last August and two more tanks in March, right before COVID hit. And we were able to shift our production over to the canning side of the business and go up to the grocery stores and switch distribution partners in Atlanta. So we've got a lot of big things have happened in the last couple of months, and we've been working hard.
So people want your beer. Where do they go?
Just about anywhere in Athens now. Most bottle shops have it. Five Points Bottle Shops are one of our biggest sellers of it. And all the Athens bottle shops. But now at Kroger, I got a deal with Kroger starting in March. We started rolling out to all the Krogers in the Northeast Georgia region. And
so
now
someone's in Atlanta.
And now they're transitioning that over to Atlanta here in July a little bit. So we're going to start seeing more and more presence down there, some of the grocery chain accounts in Atlanta.
Okay. Now, one of the things I wanted to ask you about, though, Matt, is you guys – tremendous beer. You've got a ton of great food. But you guys have been doing a lot for the community during this COVID shutdown. Talk to me about some of the efforts that you guys have put in, some of the charities you're supporting, that kind of thing.
Yeah, it was kind of a surreal situation when I came in here. I think it was Friday, March 13th. We opened on Friday the 13th back in 2017. And I was researching bankruptcy and how to shut it down. I knew COVID was coming hard and we didn't have a plan, you know, and we were already working our butts off to try to make it, you know. And so we actually had an issue with the Ollie group, the UGA Ollie group, that had a big party here planned for St. Patty's Day. And they weren't able to, last minute, they decided to cancel it. We had already cooked all the corned beef and cabbage. And so my son's cooking my grandfather's recipe of corned beef, the Irish side of the family. And so basically they wanted to donate that to the Salvation Army. So COVID's hitting and I'm in a very negative mode, I guess, trying to figure out what the right move is to do. And I just got a big inspirational uplift by feeding the homeless people over at the Salvation Army that day. And I was like, man, this is something. These guys are, a lot of these people are way worse off than I am. And it is what it is. We're going to keep swinging and, you know, taking a run at whatever we got to do to try to survive. So we decided to launch the Think We, Not Me program. And we raised up about $8,000, I think it was, $8,000 or $9,000, and it's helped us. We partnered up with several partners, the Giving Kitchen, the Downtown Ministries. We've been helping feed the homeless down there every Tuesdays throughout this COVID period. We did it today. We've been doing Private Project Safe. We've done ESP. We've been helping feed the camp. Yeah. Camp goes out of ESP. So this has actually been an eye-opening area because the whole giving back side of the business is something we've had on our plans to do, but we've just been so busy making more plans and trying to grow the business that we didn't really focus enough energy on that last couple of years. And it's been super rewarding. You know, honestly, it's been something that I wouldn't change a thing about it. You know, I see it in my team's eyes. You know, we were able to give back and we're also able to raise some money to help cover some of the labor and the food cost aspect of it.
Who would have thought charity is a good thing?
But, no, I think it's super cool. I think it's one of the greatest things that you guys have done. It really speaks to who you guys are as a company as well. And I think that that's so impactful for everybody to know.
He's
going to
give you some free beer.
So I'm saying I want people to come out here and support a company that's doing so much for the community.
See, I don't even want people to come out for that, although it's great. I want people to come out because he's a UGA grad and he supports us. So if you enjoy watching the show, I'm sorry we kind of got sideways here, folks. I know you wanted to talk more football, but I just want you to realize that the people who support UGASports.com are Georgia fans, Georgia grads, guys like Matt Casey, who is, you know, got his degree in UGA, is living a dream. He's COVID come in, almost destroy that dream. What does he do? Instead of hanging up the towel, he turns around and helps out the community here in Athens. Again, just as we're talking about guys like Jalen Kimber and Latavius Brenny and Jonathan Jefferson and Jamie Newman, here's a guy who has graduated from UGA, who's given back to the community and supports our show, which is not the most important thing, but it's among the top three. So we appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you
so much.
And come back anytime.
All right. Yeah, we will.
Go dog.
Yeah.
So
I love it.
That's our friend Matt. Hey, don't go too far with those beers. You can leave those on the counter. Yeah. Okay. So big shout out to him. Also, while we're in talking commercial stuff, one big shout out to our friends at Athens Ford. I want to point out that if you need a new vehicle, they have deals for first responders. They have deals for students. They have deals for active and retired military. They, you know, where you get an additional incentive to buy one if you're in any of those groups. If you're just a Joe Schmuck off the street like me, they will also take care of you, give you a great deal. But I want folks to go out there if you need any service on your vehicle. I know a lot of people right now are not buying new vehicles because they're waiting to see how this goes out. So if you've got a car that needs work, doesn't matter what kind it is, check out our friends at Athens Ford. Go out there. It's the best service bay you'll get. They know stuff backwards and forwards. They can fix your vehicle and you will not have any problems. The customer service there is through the roof. And I don't mean that, I'm not just saying that because they're sponsored by ours. I'm just saying it because I've dealt with it firsthand. The customer service calling you to make sure everything's done the way you want it to. A follow-up call asking if you need a ride anywhere. Do you need a rental? Do you need any help like that? It felt like
we've got some pretty cool spots.
I'm just saying felt like Chick-fil-A had opened up a service bay, you know, and they're like, okay, hey. So just the customer service.
We'll probably gonna get you some sauce if you want it.
Honestly, God.
I'm not going to joke. Somebody actually offered to pick me up lunch.
Wow.
They're like, hey, are you hungry? I'm like, no, I just ate. They're like, okay. You know, the guy's going to like just see if I need anything to eat because I've been there for a little while getting the trailer hitch thing, the receiver on my car, on my Explorer. So big shout out to our friends at Athens.
All right. We do have a bunch of questions to dive into today. I want to touch on some of these. I'm curious, Roddy, if you've heard anything about this one. I'll throw it to you from our good friend Cajun Dog. Been around since 2001. He's an old hat on the board, and we appreciate him. He says, any indication on which wide receivers Jamie Newman's developed some chemistry with over the voluntary workouts?
The only one that I saw, and again, we've heard some of that stuff, but we saw some video of him working out with Trey McKitty. You know, the tight end, the two transfers coming in together. I kind of like that. But let's go to Coach Don. And, you know, I know he can't go over there and watch him play, but he knows what Jamie Newman brings to the table. Coach Jamie Newman, he's looking at that quarterback, I mean, that running back, wide receiver group, and he's like, I want to work out. I want to get into a rhythm with someone who's as fast as Demetrius Robertson, who's as big a target as George Pickens, who's as sure-handed as Kyrus Jackson or Dominic Blaylock. What do you think, Coach?
Yeah, I just think that at this point, it's really kind of a smorgasbord for all those quarterbacks. They tend to get a feel for these kids on how they run the routes. They really don't have any unit set up, who's first, who's second, all that. I mean, because the coaches can't be out there, so they rotate around. I like that, just to get a good feel for you never know who's – because from our situation, we play several receivers. So, but as far as the favorite guy, I mean, you're going to come off the bus looking at George Pickens. I mean, that just for sure that's going to happen. But these other guys are going to develop. We've talked about on the show before, all the young receivers really have a lot to add. You know, the ones that are coming in are going to get a good shot, probably a better shot than they would if we'd have had spring practice, because everybody had been a lot more established with Monk and his system. Now, you know, these guys are starting out pretty much the same with them, you know, as far as on the field, maybe not quite as much on the Zoom meetings and all that, but I like our receiver core. I think got some quality players and some quality people. I mean, I like the way George Pickens looks me in the eye when I'm talking to him. Dom Blaylock, Kyrus Roberts, Robertson, Kyrus Jackson, those kids. You know, a lot of times when you're walking around over there, people don't have a time of day for you, some big-time players. But every time that group, just kind of reflection of their coach, Coach Hankton, they're all got good discipline and they got good manners.
Now, Cajun will have seen this over the years. Again, I know him quite well. Sometimes you see the top flight guys, even on within one football team. If you know that you're like a first round or second rounder, you kind of hang out with the other first or second rounders, you know. So it would not surprise me that Jamie Newman is working out with George Pickens going, you know, we're both going to be first round guys and you spend more time with him.
Hope this isn't the last time we play together.
Exactly. So when we're both on the Raiders, you know, right. Something like that, you know, or stuff like that. So you see that happen. And I'm sure Cajun's seen that in the past, but I do think there's something to be said right now where maybe we don't know who he's kind of leaning on or who he's developed that connection with, but you are learning that when you throw to Arian, you know, the speedster, and he's running that go route, you know, that nine route straight down the field, you give it all you got, you know, whereas maybe if you're throwing that same route to Tommy Bush, you don't throw it quite as hard. And it's not a shot against Tommy. I'm just saying Arian's a world-class track athlete, you know. And,
or maybe every time you throw it anywhere near Marcus Roseme, he seems to be going up with those big Mickey Mouse gloves of hands and just sucking it down.
Well, I think Dane's mentioned numerous times when he does video showing that catch radius.
Right.
You know, it's like, hey, this ball was low and outside, and then, you know, he reaches down and picks it up, pulls it up off the shoelaces. Whereas if you know that the route is 5 yards up, 5 yards over, you know, and you get your Pythagorean theorem out there and you throw the ball, that's where Dominic Blaylock is going to be standing with his hands up, you know, in front of him, because he's got the exact 5 yards, and you can measure with a ruler because his routes are so precise. Yeah. So you get that feeling when you work with those guys. And I think that's a lot of why they have that's why it's so big to have those voluntary workouts.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
One thing that I would point out too, from a coaching perspective, is I always like to be able to throw against air, you know, when nobody's defending you, so you can master everything about it, where you're not having to worry about your release off the line, a guy holding you, all that, where you can do it in your sleep, and then you add the fact that a defensive back is covering you. We've got the added advantage here in these voluntary workouts, and because of social distancing and all that, quarterbacks, receivers aren't working against the defensive backs like they would be right now if we were not in this crisis. So I would think we're going to develop even more chemistry because of that, because you're going to know exactly what the kid can do without somebody disrupting him. And then once you start doing it with the disruptions and all, you'll have already had that many more reps. So you're taking a lemon and making lemonade out of it as far as these quality workouts are getting for voluntary work.
Look at you with your optimism. That's uncalled for.
Well, and these workouts too are really important for these players in terms of getting their names out to NFL scouts. You know, one thing that we heard during this pandemic is Kirby Smart say, I've had more time to get on more Zoom calls with more scouts and NFL pros than I ever have before. And so he's having these conversations about how to run his program. But you know, in those conversations, they're saying, hey, so tell me about Jamari Sawyer. What's going on with him? And so if these players then are impressing the coaches at that point with their work ethic and their character, when they have, you know, more freedom than ever right now because they're not under the program's time constraints like they normally would in spring and summer. I just think it's a really big opportunity for players to impress coaches with how hard they're working, even though the rewards are not there immediately.
Good chance to try to steal up the depth chart too.
All right. Well, good that we touched on that. And Jamari Sawyer, this all kind of goes into play here. Kay Leland on the board throws this one to everybody. He says, who should we be looking at to have a breakout season on the offensive line this year? Who's a guy that could surprise some folks? I think if Jamari goes to left tackle, you can't say that because you better hope he has
played there.
He's very good. Yeah. So is there a guy that we're not talking about enough that maybe has a chance to get in and make some impact?
You got one, Coach?
You know, I'm just counting on Schaefer coming back and being ready to go. I mean, we really need him at left guard. You know, he played really well till he got hurt. Whether it be a breakout or not, it's just a really big part of that cohesiveness to have him and Ben Cleveland with their, all the experience they have with Hill in the middle, because we're going to have some growing pains with two new tackles. Regardless if Jamari's played inside or not, you know, it's going to be a big move to left tackle, and then whoever the right tackle will be, whether it be Truss or McClendon or Jones or whoever, Ratledge, we don't know, but I just think Schaefer solidifies everything by being healthy.
That was going to be my pick.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Mine too. Now, look.
You were going to go piggyback off the College Football Hall of Famer?
Well, yeah. I'm going to be wrong.
He's already got one right.
He knows I ask a coach, and then I go, yeah, that's what I was going to say. But, no, I'm a big Justin Schaefer fan. I was in high school. I said numerous times we had him underranked because – all the inside information that we were getting when the guys showed up. Because remember, he showed up with a couple other 5-stars, and everyone wanted to talk about those guys. But when people would tell me, here's what I'm seeing in practice, it was just Schaefer had a great practice, Schaefer this, Schaefer that. And I'm like, man, we really kind of screwed the pooch on that one by not having him ranked higher. So then he does really well. Then he has a neck brace. And once you saw him out at the games in that big neck brace,
yeah,
admit it. You wrote him off.
Sure.
You know, but now he's back. He's doing well. But I also want to say that if Schaefer has a bad day or Big Ben Cleveland has a bad day, don't be surprised if Warren Erickson or Clay Webb come flying in there. Again, would that be a breakout? I mean, one's a 5-star and one was super highly ranked. But
see, that's my
look how good Warren played in that bowl game.
I'm leaning toward a guy that's been a part of this rotation and has played extensively, but I don't think it's a lot of credit for what he does, and that's Trey Hill. I think Trey Hill's primed for a big season.
He took some criticism last year.
I know,
like,
that's exactly what I'm saying.
Remember some of those snaps
now, and the thing about it is, for Trey, if he stays at center, which we're expecting right now, if he stays at center, he's going to do it with a guy who is brand new to the program, not somebody he's familiar with like Jake Fromm. So you're really going to get a feel for, is this kid a center? Can he do this? Is it, you know, is it, was it more about what he was able to do with that guy, or is this his true position? I think that he's got a real shot to do it. I think that he can do exceptionally well at center this year. I think he's got all it takes to be there. And
all SEC would not surprise me.
I know. And if you, and I'll tell you this, if you find that Clay Webb is snapping the ball a little bit better, or Warren McLennan for that example, he bumped Trey out to one of the guard spots, I still think he's going to have a breakout season. I think he's just very primed. Good. I think that this is a good year for Trey Hall.
Wow. Way to go.
Yeah, on. I would say of all our players in the O-line, Trey Hill is the one that could walk into any school in the country and start.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I take that back. I'm not going to say all SEC. I'm going to say all American.
There you go. Yeah.
All American center, Trey Hill. But no, I mean, Trey does have the build for it. You saw it. Here's the thing that always makes me excited about an offensive lineman. Okay, you struggle at the beginning of the year, or you struggle in a game. You struggle against a Javon Kinlaw or somebody like that, you know, and then you get better. Holy crap. You know, sometimes we see a wide receiver or a running back or somebody, they come in as a freshman and they're that same talent level their entire career.
But, you know, that's the thing about Trey, and I think that we always saw it throughout his high school career even, was that he's not a guy who's afraid of anybody. He'll play against anybody, and he's okay to take a loss. It doesn't get into his head. He's right back up on the line for the next rep. That's what I love about a guy like Trey Hill. You know, it's not something where you're going to win the mental battle against him. He is one focus, and that has put you on your ass.
It will be very interesting to see what he does with a running quarterback, too.
I agree
with you. I think we're going to learn a lot about Trey Hill, and as his fortunes go, so too does that new offensive line.
I agree.
We need to mention Ben Cleveland, too, because, you know, you think about pro athletes and they have their contract years. Well, this is Ben Cleveland's contract year. If he has interest in pro football, he's got to show something this year.
And that's crazy. He's had these wonderful games where he's just killing people. He takes on Derrick Brown and shuts him down. Derrick's, you know, first round guy. And then you have other games where it's like, Ben, where were you on that play? So I agree with you 100%. This
consistency is the key for Ben Cleveland.
Yeah. And flexibility.
Yeah, well, yeah.
But I think that's a great point, Dane, because this could be a big money year for Ben Cleveland. Remember the first time we had him in Baltimore?
Uh-huh.
What was he, sophomore?
He was a rising junior that year.
Rising junior. We ranked him number two in the country because he looked like an all-pro NFL guy as a 15-year-old.
Well, and that's the thing is, if you can nail down that consistency and you can nail down, you know, some of that flexibility this year, somebody's going to look at you and say, I can work with that.
Yeah.
I can make that work on an NFL offensive line.
Yeah, you look at the what they did with Skipper at Arkansas.
You know,
it's like, okay, you've got this mold, but first couple of years, not that good. Boom, NFL. Tyler Catalina, they said, we can do something with that. You know, you look at a guy like Broderick Jones, you just imagine Broderick, and if you saw him in a New York Giants jersey, you'd be like, well, yeah, he plays for the Giants, of course. That's exactly what you have in Ben Cleveland. And I think, you show that flexibility, show that ability to not only pass protect, but run block. And he could go from undrafted free agent, like you're saying, to third, fourth round, maybe higher.
Why not?
Potential's off the charts, and it has been since he was 11.
Yeah. Yeah, go look up pictures of him.
Dabo Swinney was out. Quick story about Ben Cleveland. So they're in eighth grade. Ben loves playing baseball. He's a first baseman, and he'd be standing at first base catching, you know, balls thrown to him. And people would try to take photos of Ben Cleveland, like, you know, circumspect, you know. And he just, like, turned to him and said, look, just go ahead and take my picture. Because he's, 3 feet taller than everybody else in Little League baseball.
It wasn't like he didn't know.
Yeah. He's kind of looking over his shoulder like, just take the damn photo. And so someone called Dabo Swinney and said, Dabo, I'm at a baseball tournament here in South Carolina. You got to come see this kid. Dabo went over there and saw him, you know, before he was even in high school. And they offered him pretty much like the next day. So just point to the Ben Cleveland has been on the radar a long time. And this is his last year to make that big jump. So let's he might be a candidate for, I don't say breakout because we've known who he is. But if he shows that consistency throughout the year, that will say a lot.
Speaking of breakouts, I do want to mention, get over to UGASports.com. Check out Dog of the Decade. That's been one of the coolest series we've done through this whole shutdown. Patrick Garbin and Dave McMahon working to narrow down a field of 64 to the greatest dog of the last 10 years. And I'll tell you what, it's not easy sledding.
Todd Gurley. No, it's going to be Nick Chubb. It's going to be Green.
The question I always get is, where's Jarvis Jones? Yeah. Where's Jarvis Jones? He's in there, I promise. Jarvis Jones is in there. Get over there and check that out. You get to pick it. And I'm really interested to see who fans feel is the greatest.
And everyone keeps saying, oh, I know who it is. I mean, you haven't voted yet.
Yeah,
you think you know who it is. Just because you think that Sony Michel should be number one doesn't mean the guy next to you doesn't think it should be Nick Chubb or someone doesn't think it should be Roquan Smith.
It's like politics. Don't talk it at the bar.
Keep your votes to yourselves.
Yeah, you can keep your vote at UGASports.com. We won't tell anybody. A couple quick hitters here on the recruiting end. We got who is the fastest UGA target? I looked this up because there were two guys I was thinking of. Malcolm Johnson. And Xavier Worthy was the other guy I thought of out of Fresno, California. Both wide receivers in this class. Malcolm Johnson, 10.5 in the 100, so he can burn them. Xavier Worthy, 10.65, so not like he's slow right? But Malcolm gets the edge there. Georgia talking to him about both track and football. And he actually retweeted something about that the other day. They're letting him know, hey, you can do both here.
Hey, Georgia has a fantastic track program, probably the best I've seen in decades. Probably the best that Dave and I've seen it since we got here in 1990. The UGA men's track program right now with winning titles and such. So Georgia track is nothing. It's not an afterthought anymore.
Yeah. Well, so. And I'll tell you, you're seeing more and more guys that are wanting to do that route. You know, I want to run and I want to play football. So they're looking for high level programs in both. That's a huge advantage.
And I think we saw so many guys come in that want to do baseball as well. We're seeing less of that working out just because of the time constraint.
Sure. Exactly. And I think it's easier to just be fast than it is to train for baseball.
Well, no, but the training for that elite level is.
I know. Yeah.
But it does carry over more.
You don't have a guy sliding at you with spikes on
either. No.
Dallas Dog wants to know, James Williams listing Miami in his final two. Anything to be concerned about with Ed Reed being on the staff there in Miami? I can see where he's coming from with that. Ed Reed, a great recruiter, fourth of the University of Miami. One of the greats there. I will say, still haven't heard anything to make me think that it's going any way other than Georgia. I don't think that it's a situation where momentum has shifted or anything like that. Be interesting to see what happens after, you know, if Tony Grimes chooses UNC.
Yeah. There's no reason that James Williams wait till after that to announce.
I'm just saying.
But I will say this. I spoke to our friends in Miami and was told that the feeling of some of the people at American Heritage.
Yes.
American Heritage is that he put them in his final two because it's all, he said, he's told people that they will be there until the end.
Yeah.
And we've seen that. We see guys in the state of Georgia do this all the time. They name a top five or a top three. Georgia's in there. We know that they're not coming to Georgia, but out of respect to their in-state school,
sure,
they put them in there until, because they've said, hey, look, that will always be my school. So, again, I'm not saying that.
Well, and it's the state of Miami. I mean, yes. You know, listen, Miami is, for people who don't know, especially in the recruiting world, it's a whole different place. It's a super tight-knit city. All the kids know each other. All the kids have played against each other. They played on Little League teams together. So there's a lot of love for the city and a very communal feel down there.
Well, it's the same as if you have kids playing in Gwinnett versus a kid playing in Brunswick.
Right.
They may have seen each other at the camp, but they don't know each other like the kids in Miami do. Alternatively, if you play at Trinity Catholic in Jacksonville and you've got a kid down in Miami, they're both from Florida, but they're not the same.
No.
They're just not, oh, this is my buddy from Florida. It's two different worlds, just like Valdosta and Cobb County are two different worlds.
Yep, so, agreed.
And you have to recruit both of them completely differently.
Yes. So, yeah, absolutely.
Coach, do you have any good stories recruiting in Miami?
Yeah, Coach.
Yeah. Let me see when it was, but I think 86, I was down there recruiting, and this kid held me up.
What?
He didn't actually pull a gun on me, but he told me he had a gun. And
did that in his recruitment?
Had on my OU championship ring. And I said, look, I'm a coach from Oklahoma. I said, if you rob me, none of your friends will ever get recruited by here because nobody will ever come before, again. I said, I'll give you $10 if you won't rob me. I said, that's all I got beside my wallet. And so I gave him the 10, but that was a pretty tough deal there.
Yeah, that's a tough deal. So
I went inside and told the coach, and he said, the guy tried the same thing with the coach from Michigan about a week ago.
He had a racket. He was waiting on you guys. He knew where the money was, man.
But that's pretty scary. Then the other one, I got one more. I was up in Boston. Well, we're talking about Miami here, so no.
Go ahead. We got time.
I was up in Boston, the Boston Latin School, and I pulled up right in front, and I got out, and the policeman came up to me. He said, you're not going to park there, are you? I said, what do you mean? Is this a no parking zone? He said, well, I'm just telling you, if you leave your car here, I'm not going to tell you what's going to be left of it, but not much. He said, what are you doing? I said, I'm a coach from North Carolina. I'm here recruiting a skip. He said, well, let me open up the teacher's parking lot and I'll let you park in there. And then you can go into the school and I'll walk in. And I just figured on my way in, this kid better be really good for me to keep on.
Yeah, those Latin schools, man, gotta watch out for them.
I like that. I dig that. That Miami story. Though. That's an all-timer right there.
That's a true story.
I believe you, Coach. If you want better customer service than what you would get if you were to go to recruit in Miami for UNC, check out our friends at Aaron Overhead Doors. I want to mention that Ryan Lucia just bought a giant new building. That's what happens when you advertise with UGASports.com. Hint. He's got this huge new building, so they're going to have a giant warehouse where they can get garage doors directly from the manufacturer. They don't have to get them through a retail outlet or through a vendor or anything like that. So they're going to be able to buy wholesale. Huge warehouse now. So, and they can get in specialty doors and stuff like that. Three loading bays on it. One huge receiving bay with a ramp. Brick walls for the offices, giant room. Again, huge Georgia fan. If you go to Aaron Overhead Doors, if you need anything commercial, anything residential, any type of service, they will do it. They will set up the appointment for you. You can set up the appointment with them at your leisure. It's a free appointment. You know, they don't charge you just to come out or to talk to you. And you'll get 10% off if you just let them know you're a Georgia fan. I don't know how he stays in business doing that, but it seems to work. You just took a huge risk and signed the deed for a giant new building so that they have more room to service their customers. So check out our friends at Aaron Overhead Doors. That's a huge jump for them. Also, speaking of expansion, check out our friends at YourPie. If you go online, you will notice that they have new locations opening up, one in North Macon. So my folks in Macon, don't whine at me about not being able to find a YourPie. There's a new one in North Macon. There's three new locations that they were highlighting at YourPie.com. Plus, this is a great month coming up in July to order any pizzas, because if you have the YourPie app, they keep doing all these deals where you get extra points on the app by using the app to order. I mean, even if you're about to walk into the store, stop. Get out the app, order on that.
Get back in your car, download the app.
Yeah, download the app. Get all the points on there so that you get free pizzas. It's one of the most generous apps I've ever seen. They give away points left and right to get you free pizza. So you check out with Drew French and Natalie. They do wonderful work in the community. You talk about community service.
Yes.
They do community service every month. So Drew gives back. He's also a big contributor to UGA, Georgia graduate. I met him on our trip to play Arizona State in the back of the plane. Me and him were drinking heavily. We've been friends ever since. So anybody you meet on his way to drink at a bar in Arizona State, you know, to watch Noshawn Moreno fly over everybody, that is a guy that you want to support in his business. He supported UGA Sports when they only had one store. Now they have, yeah, tons and tons of stores, and he's still supporting UGA Sports. So that is a guy who wants to support the program. They do great jobs hiring other UGA grads. And if you want a franchise, hit them up. So big shout out to them as well.
Yeah. Shout out especially, though, today to our friends here at Academia. Can't wait to wrap this up and get down to the business of.
So what did you order?
I got the Smokehouse flatbread, a little barbecue sauce on there, some jalapenos, melted it down. That's some outstanding stuff.
The tripletta sandwich here, man. That's. I don't leave with one of those for my son. I will not be allowed in the house. He's bigger than me now.
he could stop you.
Yeah. Anyway, I want to tell everyone thanks for tuning in this week. We will come back next. Well, actually, no. Next Tuesday is what?
No, the 4th is Saturday. So.
Okay.
I don't know. Who knows?
We'll see.
Watch us.
We should be on next Tuesday at noon. Just want to be sure I didn't say anything. Probably be back in our normal spot at Classic City Eats. If not, maybe we'll go out to Athens Ford and talk to those folks. But if you get a chance, swing by ujsports.com. There's a ton of stuff to read over there. I know it's.
I hope you didn't miss the War Room last Friday.
Oh, that was
good. Was a big one, right?
That was a big one. 20 plus or 20?
Right at 20, yeah.
20 updates that you won't find anywhere else. Scoop, scoop, scoop galore at ujsports.com. Check out the War Room if you missed it on the Friday. Dash has had some insider notes. I've had some insider notes. We had the Jamie Newman's a counselor at the Elite 11 note yesterday. We had the note about the school being allowing you to bring in all your athletes at once instead of, okay, you're 85, you're 105, you're 120. They said, nope, you can bring them all in now. So that's another scoop. You won't read that anywhere else except at UGA Sports. So be sure to check us out 27 cents a day for Coach Donnan, for Dane Young, for Jake Roos. I'm Roddy DeBulsey. We will talk to you next week. Take care.